Welcome to Sparks and Recreation, your source for info on community events, meta-analysis, and everything Hero Realms. Part of the Realms Rising Network.
Hey, 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 everybody. Double Dubs here, rolling solo for the intro today. As you may recall, we had a very long interview with John Tuff Labella, Triple Legends winner in the Realms Games. And we basically decided to cut that and make it its own episode, kind of centered all around that. So that is what we're going to have for you today. I'll do a little bit of a community roundup at the end, which will have a bit of an exciting announcement built into that. So be sure to check that out if you are so inclined. We'll do a little quick tap and a scrap, and then we'll get out of there. I do think we'll have another episode in the works pretty soon here. There's the level 20 testing that we covered a little bit on episode 52, but there's more level 20. That was when they only had the base classes. They've expanded that out. And then I think we're also going to be getting some balance changes coming up. Maybe the Alchemist will finally be getting a little bit of a nerf. So we'll see what happens there, but looking to discuss those things and more on the next episode. This one is going to be focusing mainly on that interview with Tuff. I also had a couple other things I want to shout out here in the intro. Apologies to Scorium. I meant to get his link to the dashboard for the data for Echoes of Valor into the show notes that got published. It is on the realmsrising.com website for the show now, but I'm going to make sure to have that in this episode's show notes and on the website again for this episode, realmsrising.com. So you can check that out so you can see all of the wonderful data that Scorium is working on there. The last thing I wanted to give a shout out for in the intro here was that there is some excellent Lua stuff going on right now. You know, we've got Arcanel and Warden Slayer that have been up to some great things, but my favorite as of late is the industrialization mod created by User Cafe. It is an entire new set of Hero Realms that you can play, and I think it is awesome. Is it perfect? Maybe not. But is he working on it and making it amazing? Absolutely. The mechanics and the flavor are just absolutely top-notch. I hope to talk about it more at some point in the podcast, but I did want to shout it out there that, you know, if the current market cards, you're looking to expand that a little bit, well, User Cafe has made an entire set for playing online in the app, and I think it's great. I've jammed over 30 games of it, I would say, at this point, and I don't plan on slowing down. I'm queuing it up all the time. So industrialization is the mod, but just keep an eye on what's going on in the Lua scripting and the Lua crafting channels on the Discord, and maybe we'll even have a Lua episode sometime in the near future. So with all that said, let's take it over to the interview with John Tuff Labella, Scrapforce, and myself. Thanks for tuning in. Here we go. All right, everyone. Here we are, ready to chat with John Tuff Labella. And we kind of, you know, this is on me a little bit, but I failed to mention in the intro, you're here because you have won 3 Legends tournaments. Is that right?
Yes.
Unbelievable, dude. Man. Holy crap. Congratulations.
I've been on a Chris. Little bit of a roll this year or so.
Hold on, Chris.
Yeah.
2-1. Con, that's insane.
Even that,
2-1 con. Did you freak out? Like, I don't can't even imagine how you felt.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. The Hero Realms was first, and that was the goal, because
you're a Realms Walker, baby. Yeah.
And I was shocked because, like, the Dennis, the tournament organizer, kept like torturing us, being like, oh, I'm the organizer. Maybe I'll throw a curveball at you. You won't know, like a rules change. Wow. So when I won, I'm like, that's it, right? It was just best of three. Like, we're good? I can grab the trophy.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, that is so cool. We'll get into the details of it all in a minute here. But first, I just wanted you to kind of like introduce yourself a little bit, let the community know a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like a lot of you guys. I'm 36, married. I got two kids that are 8 and 5 that drive me nuts. So the older you get with kids, it's kind of hard to game and stuff. Uh-huh. Like Hero Realms and Star Realms, especially being able to play it on your phone, is amazing. You know, you can find time, just, you know, in the morning while you work.
You know. No one here has ever played Hero Realms while working.
No one recorded a podcast while working.
But I've definitely just, as I've gotten older and, you know, it's less time for video games, and also we'll all have to admit we slow down a bit with like our micro, our fingers aren't as fast. So
sure,
playing games that reward critical
strategy
thinking,
yeah,
strategy, and they're turn-based are definitely my speed, and it's very mm-hmm. rewarding. I love playing them.
It sounds like the asynchronous aspect of the Realms games appeals to you as well, which it definitely does for me, as far as being able to take a few turns here and there and stuff like that. But so you mentioned kind of like gaming in general. It sounds like you've been a gamer for most of your life. What's kind of like your history with gaming?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think when I was like 6, I first got like, you know, Super Nintendo, was, you know, playing those games. And then it's probably about 8 or 9, finally got a computer. And then I started to go right into strategy games.
Okay. Like RTSs, like Warcraft and that kind of thing.
So there's Warcraft, a little bit of Starcraft. But before that, I was big into the Battletech games. And there was actually a Battletech RTS called Mech Commander and Mech Commander Gold.
Yeah, I don't know those.
Yeah, rather than having to like gather resources and build your base and build up an army, you just start with resources. You purchase your entire army. You like you configure all the mechs with whatever weapons you want, and then you mm-hmm. just go into a death match with your opponent. So it's all about how well did I plan, how well did I build. It's a lot of customization. And then you have to do like, you know, the mic ring, which when I was, you know, 12, 13, like I was a lot faster. No, not so much.
Right.
So did you get into like card games as you got older then, or how did it kind of like transition? How did you end up getting into the Realms games?
So card games in general, probably when I was about like 20 something, my friends started doing game night at the house, and started off just 4 of us. And eventually we'd have like 12 people would come over. We play all sorts of games. You know, some of us would be like 3 people be playing one game, maybe 4 people be playing another. And I probably started with games like Dominion, which kind of deck building aspect where you have, you know, a little different objectives, but you know, you have like a shared shop, everyone's buying from it.
Yep.
And you know, you start, your deck starts with just crummy 1 gold cards. And in that game, instead of trying to deal damage, you're obtaining victory points, which are dead cards in your deck, but
sweet victory points. Dominion was such a groundbreaking game, and like we're here having this conversation because of Dominion. Like, let's not make no bones about it. Dominion led to Ascension, because mm-hmm. Ascension had the big evolution of, well, let's shuffle the market together so people don't know what they're gonna buy. And then Ascension evolved into Star Realms, and there's podcasts with Darwin and Rob kind of like talking about that evolution. I thought that was really interesting. So that's cool that you got kind of your start into Dominion and game night and stuff like that. Very cool. What kind of happened next then?
So it's kind of for like, for a while, it was just like, you know, like big board, like party games, friend games, or things that you can play as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I used to live in New York, and now I live up in Mass. And eventually my friend was like, hey, you ever been to PAX? I'm like, no, what's PAX? And he's like, oh, it, like you have one. It's like a local gaming convention. It's like those guys, Penny Arcade. Remember they started a con? I'm like, oh, yeah. I used to read the comic, you know, back in the day. And so it's my local con, but he came up to visit me and convinced me to start going to it. And while a lot of it is video games, they do have a huge board game section. And I started mm-hmm. to look into stuff here and there. And it started with like party games, got stuff I could buy, bring home, play with the wife and friends. And then eventually by accident, I found Star Realms, and that's how I kind of got started.
So go ahead, Sam.
I was going to ask you guys if you had the similar experience. So the first time I actually went to a con was only 2 or 3 years ago, not long ago. I went to PAX U in Philly, and I remember walking in and being like, oh, it feels so right. Like, it just feels right to be in this room with all these board games, all these people that I know like board games. Like, you just, there's something about it. Yeah. Like, you feel like you're in your group, right? Did you guys have that similar feeling? And yeah, when you walked in, you just were like, oh, yeah.
My first con was Gen Con for my buddy's bachelor party. Oh, yeah. Nice. We did That's a bachelor awesome. Party at Gen Con. And yeah, that was when I was like so into Magic the Gathering. And I was like blinders on for Magic and a little bit interested in D&D. Mm-hmm. But also just like we took like a whole day just to like walk the convention hall. And I thought that was awesome. And like. Yeah. The whole of like demoing games. I wanted to buy every game I demoed. I was like, oh, that was sweet. I'm gonna buy that game. Thankfully, I only walked out of there purchasing one, but got tough showing off the Kallaxes there. Yep. I know we all have too many games, too little time is really the sentiment. So okay, so it sounds like you've been going to conventions for a while then. Tell me a little bit more about that. So like, and like playing competitively, had you been like competing in conventions, or what was that like for you?
It's at first it was just like, all right, let's go and explore and like find new things. And you know, as a kid, we all played the same video games because we're Super Nintendo, you know, AAA companies and titles coming out. Everyone played Mario. Everyone played, you know, Zelda. It's, you know, I got a game, you got the same game. There was very rarely that someone had an obscure game in your friend's circle. And now that we're older, there's too many choices. You know, you kind of get bogged down. So being able to go to a con, if you're looking to play, whether it's board games or video games, you just get to walk up to these indie developers and just be like, hey, show me your passion project. And you're like, oh, this is fun. And like, yeah, I'll throw you like $20 for it. And you start, like, you know, at first you might start to get a little too much of a selection.
do you ever prune the collection? That's something I have a hard time with. I never get rid of games. They just keep adding to the pile.
Same.
Not yet. I just actually bought two more shelves to fit it all.
We're not pruning. We are adding. We are adding to the empire. Only additions are allowed.
I found a sneaky hack, you guys. Purchasing an insert so that all your expansions can fit in one box, and then you get rid of other boxes, and then you're like, look at all this shelf space. I can get more games now. So that's my little thing for you. But go ahead. You were talking about like competitions and conventions and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it didn't start competitively. The last time I played something competitively, like on paper, was Magic the Gathering, probably about when I was 16, so it's 20 years ago now. And I won some tournament in the city that kind of like qualified you to go to the next step. So it's like, you can go like state and or regional, state, whatever, and then eventually hopefully worlds,
nationals and worlds. Yeah, there times in history, Magic has had great like paths for the competitive scene. It's kind of ebbed and flowed, but anyways, go on.
And I was denied by my parents to go because I would have had to miss a day of school.
No.
And rough. I would have, and it's one of the, I kind of like never let it go because that year the world champion had my deck two cards different. And I'm like, not saying I would have been world champion, but I had the line.
You were dialed in on the metagame. You knew what was up, man.
There was no net decking back then. You know, you had to make it on your own. And
I don't want to bog things down on our Hero Realms podcast with too much Magic the Gathering, but what was the deck? Do you remember at all?
Yeah. So it was back. What was it like in Invasion? I think was the set.
But, Invasion block. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so you started to really first get into like the multicolor, like a lot of cards are multicolor.
Yeah.
It was black, blue with this card called Psychotog, which was like a 3-1-2 that you could just start your hand. You
would pull
per card, they removed from discard, and the deck was full of all these things that I could deal damage to you and draw cards, you know, discard cards from your hand, counters.
There was Psychotog, enough said. That card's a beast. That's a good one.
You don't block my 1-2. Well, now it's an 11-12. Like, take that.
Okay. Well, I really am curious to get into the tournaments themselves, but I did just want to hear a little bit about how you found the Realms Rising community. It sounded like you found Star Realms first. Kind of like take me from there and kind of bring me up a little bit. What happened next?
Total accident. I'm still on the, like, you know, I'm playing party games and stuff with friends, and there's this local company we like that said, after hours. So at PAX, you know, the floor is open from 10 to 6. And then after 6, they close the vendors, but the whole tabletop and Let's Play section stays open. Right. So it's like half the convention center at PAX East, and it's just people playing games till midnight. And so he was like, yeah, come by like after hours and you'll get to play test like our new games. These are games that like we're still like, you know, tweaking, and we want live playtesting, and you might see these at like the next con. It's like, oh, that sounds like really cool. We love your other game. So
designers love having playtesters. They are like desperate. If you're a board game designer, you want to have your game playtested as much by as many different people and getting that feedback like a lot. That really helps them so much.
Yeah. And I was like, this is great. This is more like, this is why I'm here at PAX, try new things. I'm like, yeah, like, would you like your other game? Sure. So I'm waiting for them to get set up and trying to kill time, and PAX has a game library where it's just, you literally go and you just rent a board game for free. Like, you just, they have them scan your badge and you just borrow the board game.
I love it.
We did that at Origins this year, and it was so sweet. You get to try so many things, and like, it's very open space. You don't have to like sign up for a time slot. You know, I love signing up for time slots and trying new games that way with someone who knows it running it. But yeah, the game libraries are great as well. So go on. You're at the game library or the after hours at PAX.
The game library, and my friend was busy. So I'm like, oh, let me find something that's like single player. And I just saw like on the shelf this little small box with this art that had like spaceships on it. And I was like, ooh, like this thing looks like, show you. It was the Star Realms Frontiers box. I know you won't be able to see it on the podcast, but if anyone looks it up, it comes in a very distinct box with the art, and it's got the spaceships on it. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. And oh, it says like 1 to 4 players. And it does have like a mode where you can play against like bosses. Mm-hmm. And they get harder the more people you have. But so I literally got set up. I'm about to play. And the tweet goes out. They're like, oh, they're ready to play test that game. So I put the game back. Walked away with that game, right?
Interesting.
Next day, I tell my friend, you know, we got to check out the game library. And it's like, you know, we already looked at the booths. We saw some stuff. We bought some stuff. Let's just like hang out, relax, and like play some games. And so I was like, you know, last night I saw this cool game. And it looked really cool for one person, but the main mode seemed to be like a 1v1 thing. You want to try it? And he's like, yeah, all right, let's go. And first two games, he proceeded to just destroy me. And then we started doing the, all right, you know, we do get to like best of 3, and then we're like, all right, best of 5. Yeah. And then, he won the first two, and then I kept playing. And then at that point, he's like, all right, John, best of 9. And I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't even know that Wise Wizards was at the con. They had like a much smaller booth, and I must have just overlooked them.
Yeah.
But they make a good strategy of putting their games in the library for just people to test. And so I had so much fun that I ended up just going online, just buying it like the next day. And we had it the day after the con was over. And then for the next 6 months, like 3 days a week, between me, my friend, my son, my wife, we're just all playing Star Realms.
Digitally?
No. We're playing on
paper. Oh, okay. Nice. Wow. So you guys were awesome. Playing Jam and a bunch of paper games. So you were not aware of the app at this point?
I became aware of the app shortly after, but... because I started to buy all the other sets because I was having fun playing it with my wife and son.
Yeah.
That's around the table and do. So my friend, you actually, I think you know, Taxchusetts. I think he was on your...
Fantastic name. Yeah, it's a great name.
So my buddy...
Do you know him in real life?
Yeah, yeah. We go to all the cons together. He's always over my house playing games and stuff.
Okay, nice. Cool.
So we live a town apart. So
nice. Awesome.
So he got into the app. Because, and then I'm like, you know what? I've already got the things on paper. I'll just keep playing on paper because it's just fun to play with the family.
Right.
And now about a year goes by and we're back at PAX, and I've just been playing all the Star Realms sets. And I did hear of Hero Realms because they do advertise within the PAX. Like, hey, there's also the fantasy version. I'm like, all right, well, I'm having fun with this one. Like, maybe I'll check that out later.
Do you groove more on sci-fi generally or fantasy or kind of both? What's your lean on that direction?
I go back and forth, but I always love to keep one sci-fi thing in my rotation. It's like my little like niche. It's like, I feel like if I don't have one, then I'm missing something.
Right. Okay. Right on.
And, yeah, so we go, oh, Wise Wizards here this time. Like, oh yeah, we love your game. We've been playing it. Just like literally like against each other for an entire year. You know, we had to teach ourselves the rules and everything. And
they love hearing that stuff.
Yeah. The woman at the booth was like, oh, you know, we've got a tournament tomorrow. And if you win, you get your face on a card. We just kind of like gave each other that look. And we're like, oh yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're really into a game and you get the opportunity to get your face on the card, like, that is so cool. It is so cool. I literally went to a meeting for work and I brought a bunch of copies of my card and I gave them to people. Nice. And they loved it. They thought it was so cool.
Dude, your card's like $15 on eBay too. I hope they know.
I told them. I was like, hey, if you want to, you can sell it. It may be cheaper right now, community, if you're going to go on. Maybe there's a flood of them on eBay.
Right.
You can get a good auction price.
We got to give away some more copies of your card. I still got a stack. Yep.
I got two stacks over here. We can do that.
And I'll say it again. You got so darn lucky, my dude, that yours came out so fast, Sam. Most people are waiting years, and your card is awesome and came out within like 6 months or whatever.
If I do remember, though, I don't know. I could be hallucinating this, John, but in Star Realms, is your card out and in the app? No. Not yet. Oh man, yeah, I'm so lucky.
Luckily, Darwin Castle was at PAX, and he told me back in February. He's like, "All right, if you don't hear from me in a month, like, hit me up about your card." I'm like, "Well, I'm here. Hey, Darwin." And he's like, oh, and he gave me like the roadmap that there's going to be after Rise of the Empires comes out, which is the current Star Realms Kickstarter. It's literally in the process of being shipped right now.
Uh-huh.
Once everyone has got that, and that's confirmed, done. They've talked about launching another Kickstarter, and in that Kickstarter set is going to be all like the back legends.
They have so many. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Well, let's keep this tale going. So you were with Taxachusetts. You heard that there was a Legends tournament. Was that one that you participated in, or what happened next?
Yeah. So we're like, all right, let's go. Let's see how good we actually are. And
you know what year this was? Do you remember?
This is 2022.
Okay, so we are
2023. So I discovered the game in 22. A year later, 23. So it's just a year of practice against each other.
Yep.
Like, all right, let's. And we probably played hundreds of games. Like, this was our jam.
Which, in paper, that's quite a lot. So, you know, that's a lot of time to jam. You can jam out 100 games in digital a lot easier than you can jam out 100 paper games.
I mean, what is it they say on Game of Thrones? It's like, steel sharpens steel, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, how good are we? Let's find out.
Yeah. So we're like, all right, let's do it. And so we enter the tournament. And I think we both got off to like decent starts, you know, like 2-0 or like 2-1. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it got a little rough from there, but we actually both finished in Swiss 4-2.
Nice.
But like when the tournament started, you know, where we're kind of like, you know, you're like scoping people out, like, all right, who's the big fish? Because we don't know anybody. You're looking at people's demeanors, and I see this guy, and he's like off like by himself, and he's just got like this like stoic look, and he's not really talking to anybody. I'm like, that's the guy. He's like, sure? What about like those three guys? No. That guy over there, that's the guy. Turns out that guy was Birdlaw.
Very cool.
He is the guy for sure.
You sniffed out the guy. Good job.
He definitely did.
So did you introduce yourself or what happened?
So we're playing and
you made the cut to top eight, it sounds like, right? Well,
not exactly.
Oh.
It gets a little interesting. So there was a little tournament mix up at some point and like they recorded my match incorrectly. And they recorded me as 3-0 and I was 2-1 and I got them to fix it, but the guy who got messed up, had they recorded his match wrong, he would have not made the top eight. So I don't know if he just had to go or if it was because of like honesty that I had him correct it. But what ended up happening was he got like third or so. And they're going through the announcings and like, oh, my buddy Taxachusetts got like sixth and someone got seventh and someone got eighth. And then in ninth place, missing it by one game of strength of opponent is tough. And I'm like, no.
Brutal, dude. You missed on tiebreaker.
I gotta go, and just takes his mat and leaves. And so you get a mat for a custom top mat, eight. We'll say Legend Series top eight. And he takes his mat and he leaves, and they go, "Well, we don't want to have a bye in the playoffs. You were the next seed. Do you want to play?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah." we started to talk around my house. We call it LaBella magic. It's just I have this way of just like I do nothing, and then just like
and good all
the
things sort happen. Of,
like, things just happen. They line up perfectly. So I'm like, "Yeah, all right, we're in."
Yes.
So round one was Frontiers, and I completely forgot. I had only played the Frontier set in that past year. And when you play in a Star Realms Legends tournament, you don't know if you're going to get Frontiers, Core, or Colony, which are the three different main
sets. Yep.
Oh, I had no clue what like the cards were. So I literally sit down and look at the marker and be like, "Oh, I don't even know what's in this. I'm just going to like, you know, I know what each faction kind of does and use the Frontier cards. I'll just kind of wing it." And, so that's where my two losses kind of came from, just sort of like learning the sets as I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And then round one playoffs was Frontiers. I'm like, "Oh, I like big flex." And my opponent is like, you know, doing like, "Oh, I'm just going to buy some Econ." And Frontiers is a set that there's a lot of like cheap cards that deal damage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And have another effect without even needing the faction bonus. And if you faction bonus, their effects get huge. And it was 2-0 in a matter of minutes. Like other people were still in game one. I'm like, "Yeah, I already knocked my opponent out." Like,
yeah.
Nice.
So that got you into the semifinals of your first Legends event. Very so nice.
Semis. My friend Taxchusetts gets eliminated and starts talking to the other players. One of them being Birdlaw, who went 6-0 in the Swiss.
Oh yeah.
Turns out Birdlaw is from one town over.
Okay.
So we all start chit-chatting because we're all local people now.
Yeah.
And then in the next round, it was Colony, another set that like I don't really know. And I just kind of stuck to my mantra where big damage goes burr.
Yeah.
You buy the cards with the 100 numbers and you kill your opponent and you win the game.
Yeah. Generally, and,
That one went to game three, and I had a turn where I think it was like my opponent had about 37 or 35 health. And I was looking at him like, "You know, I've got this card, I scrap it, and I draw a card. And I'm pretty sure I know what's in my deck. It's like almost a guarantee I can get something else with damage." I'm like, "Oh, I get that card, which factions with that card." And then Colonies has a unique thing where there are a lot of cards that say, if you played a card of that same faction this turn, you buy it and you put it in your hand. So you can play it immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that, I was able to put together an actual 37 damage turn and just kill him. And
with a set you had never played before that day, really. That's something else, man.
Epic.
That's amazing. So that got you into the finals of your first Legends tournament.
Yeah. And at that point, I actually went up to the tournament organizer. I'm like, "Can I borrow a core deck for a
just
minute?
To read the cards, please?
Like, "Oh, you're going to practice?" I'm like, "No, I need to read the cards. I've never seen it before." And he's like, "How did you get this far without seeing it before?" I understand the game. I'm like, "Some of the sets, but just one set."
Go ahead.
So just giving it a quick look through did not prepare me to face Birdlaw, though.
It was Birdlaw in the finals?
It was Birdlaw in the finals. But
secured another Legends win.
That's how he secured his Realmswalker title.
Oh, that was it,
fantastic.
Huh?
I can see that's cool. Awesome. There's a place of honor with that. I love that.
Yeah. So I was fine losing. It's like I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna go like 3-3 and just
very
like,
much hey, just whatever. Happy to be there." It sounds like
I was just thrilled to be there. My friends still tease me to this day. It's like, you know, well, I got second, he got a mat. I got nothing.
Right. Yeah, because you didn't get top eight mat, right?
Nope. Yeah. I did not get the top eight mat because officially I was ninth and the guy.
No other prizes. No other prizes for second. Yeah. That's funny.
I have to say the legend luck, even though you didn't win that particular one, but the tournament luck, it is a big part of it, man. It
LaBella
is a
magic.
Yeah. You get a good draw. You only play so many games. So you have to be drawing well. You have to play well. It all matters. And you still put yourself in a position to win every time. But you
need luck on your side. Yeah, you can't win one of these without getting a little lucky. I agree. Totally.
Absolutely.
But the greatest luck I found, though, was just we finally found local people to play with. It wasn't just playing against each other. I'm like, we got this guy, Birdlaw's here, and he lives a town over. It's like,
yeah,
it's so great. So we can like bounce ideas off him and talk and learn from him.
Oh my God. And such a good person to be bouncing ideas off of. Yeah. He's very smart. Very cool.
Did you recognize him at that point? Were you playing in the app?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you recognize his handle from the app or not, but yeah,
this is where we segue it in. It's meeting Birdlaw that got you kind of into the Realms Rising community. Yes. And stuff like that. Is that right?
Nice.
It was actually Birdlaw and his friend Morgan, aka Marauder Mo,
who's
one of the big guys, helped get it started, and he's still involved.
Yeah.
And he's but he was actually there with what he calls the biggest deck, where he took every single Star Realms expansion and just jammed it all together into one giant market row that could not like sit upright. You'd have to lay it down in the deck in multiple deck boxes.
Yeah. I can't even imagine playing with everything, let alone shuffling it.
Oh yeah. So we're like, oh, let's all go out to dinner, because I'm like, oh cool, like we'll celebrate. And then I get to like, you know, like learn more about the game, these guys. And you know, Birdlaw was just kind of like, yeah, I know this place. And we're walking in the rain with Morgan's biggest deck in his backpack, just freaking out the whole time. We walked around in the rain for a full hour.
Oh, no.
Couldn't find anywhere to eat because the waits were too long.
Yes.
And ended up just going to a place near Morgan's hotel. We ended up at the Buffalo Wild Wings at like midnight.
B-dubs.
Right? Yep.
Had to wait like a half hour for beers. The place was terrible, but the experience was great.
Nice.
That's how it goes. That's the con life, though. It's like you can't get a hotel room. You have to park somewhere where it's like $40 to park. The first time I went to PAX, you like, I showed up like this naive child, and I was like, I'll just park in the garage. It's full. Okay, I'll go to this other garage. It's full too. Does that count? Is that that could be a curse?
Oh, time stamp. Your first curse. How dare you, Sam Scrap Force Parsons?
50:18. All right. A few seconds before.
Almost the hour.
You're good. Yeah. But, I mean, a round of applause.
You know, I feel good it wasn't an F-bomb. So there's that.
We've got a lot we want to get into as far as these and even level 20 and stuff. So I want to keep the conversation moving. Anything further kind of about like the community and stuff like that, Tuff, that you wanted to mention before we actually kind of get into the nitty gritty of these tournaments that you played in?
It was definitely just great, like meeting, you know, those two guys, you know, Birdlaw and Marauder Mo. They really kind of like helped me get into the community. Like I didn't really know like where to go at first. And we were even trying to find like tournaments to play, and you Google it and it's like, yeah, you got to go to Ohio. And I was like, oh, I don't know.
Not doing that.
Yeah. You know,
like they've been like, oh yeah, okay, I guess might as well get into the app just to simply have more people to play. And, you know, there was, Hero Realms discounts. You know, if you went to the con, you got like, you know, half price just to like kind of get in the app. So I'm like, all right, Star Realms will be my paper game, and I made Hero Realms my digital game, especially because it had that leveling up aspect.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of how like I finally made my way into the Hero Realms.
Digital. Side. Okay. Nice. Oh, right on. So Hero Realms, you're playing digitally, and you met Birdlaw. Awesome stuff. I think what I want to do as far as how the tournaments went, I think let's actually talk about your Hero Realms win, and then we'll go back in time and do your first Star Realms. We'll do the Hero Realms win. We'll do the following day the Star Realms win, and then we'll go back in time and do your first Star Realms win. So that's kind of the lay of the land of how I want to have the conversation go out here. So, Hero Realms victory at Legends. This was at PAX, right?
Yep, at PAX East, just a got a few weeks ago, really.
Yeah, very, very recent, very fresh.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's still fresh. It's only like 2 weeks ago. I barely dried the sake and beer like out of the.
Do you remember how many participants there were and who from the community had played? Any shout outs there?
Yeah, so usually from what I've gathered, the Hero Realms Legends have around from like 12 to 20, just depending on who shows up. They did, for tournament organization reasons, they put it on Challenge, but then also put a entry fee because they wanted to have more people who were serious about it than having people who are like, I barely know the rules. And they wanted just like a lot of heavy hitters to play. So there was, I think, 13 for this time. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I think the previous one had 16. So it's similar amounts, but like not, it was a small field. As far as like big names, you know, my buddy Taxchusetts always was there with me. The Birdlaw, of course, was there. Uh-huh. And Horgel actually made it in for that. And I've met Horgel a couple times at other events, but it was nice to actually get to play against him too.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then it was it the standard format of playing vanilla with no heroes in the Swiss and then cut to top eight? You guys did a cut to top eight, right? Or was it top four?
Actually, top four, because the field was kind of small. So
yeah,
top
eight makes
got
sense. Mats,
but top four got to go on.
Okay, and then top four, you played with heroes. Is that correct? Okay, so let's kick it off by telling us a little bit about the Swiss. How did the Swiss go for you?
Swiss went amazing. So to practice for Swiss, I hit up my good buddy Rip. So I met him at another, like a Splintered Thandar event.
Nice.
He's actually also from New York, where I'm originally from. So we got talking. Yep. And he's really friendly. He loves doing community stuff.
Yep.
And you know, and I'm like, hey, do you mind helping me practice? Because in vanilla on the Hero Realms app, you can only do it in a challenge, and you have to like do a custom challenge and select no heroes. You can't sit there like, you know, you can't do this on ladder.
I will say that's not true anymore. I don't know if you're aware of this, but no, you can practice vanilla. Yeah, you have to. There's a custom game queue. I'll text you about it later, but nice. You can queue up for vanilla, but it's just like a special way to do it. But anyways, go on.
Is there enough people on it or?
Yeah. People pick up the games. It's not bad. Yeah. Nice. Okay. But playing against Rip for practice, you made a good Huge. Choice there. Shout yes. out Rip. Love you, buddy.
Love you. Rip.
So yeah, keep going.
So, and you helped me just get a lot of games in, and you start to notice that, you know, when you don't have the ability to draw, snap your finger and deal burst damage, champions just become really valuable because they just accidentally stick.
Yeah. And anything with like four toughness or more is nasty.
Yeah. Because four toughness stops all the starting damage because you've only got a dagger and a sword, which is three.
Yep.
So you slam down four toughness, that thing will, you know, prevent a good, you know, nine damage before it gets taken out. And you start getting other champs and they kill the first one, you slam down another, and then you can just kind of snowball with just random champs. You don't even care about the colors at times.
It's been mentioned in other strategy places before, but like, especially in vanilla, as you're mentioning, champions are almost like a secret fifth faction. And mm-hmm. I don't think that gets like acknowledged enough, but I feel like that's what you're alluding to here.
It is. It's champions, and then the sixth faction is just scrap your deck.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of how I rolled in Swiss. Most of the games, the first three games were very back and forth. You know, I started off in 3-0, and every single game was if I didn't kill them that turn, they would have probably killed me. And
so very tight,
very close games. You know, the health totals were like, you know, like 15 to, you know, like negative like two. Like I barely killed them, and like, oh, I had a 20 damage turn coming up, and you know, kind of thing. So it was very close.
Yep.
And then final game, I played some other guy who was 3-0, who played only on paper, so he was used to
the
paper
format.
And I first turn command.
Oh, nice.
Second turn rally the troops. Third turn, what is the was it Arden, the eight gold yellow champ?
Arcus.
Yep. Yeah. Game over.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it was in the just like the app, you don't overheal. So I never went below 50. It's I just literally every turn was just, I draw my whole deck because of the card draw, because I'd rally the troops, draw two with the champ, command, okay, draw another, heal the full, smack him for 10. Like repeat. Like it was like a 50 to negative three. The game was over in like 2 minutes.
Wow. That's tough for your opponent. Were they just blown away by it or what?
Like, especially because there was like a 20 minute wait to start the round because it was a mix up on challenge. They had to like redo like the bracket. Okay. So you waited 20 minutes to literally within a matter of two.
Like lose people, in five.
People still hadn't flipped their decks more than once and we were done.
Are you a fast player generally?
Very fast. A lot of my games, like I'll do like a full best of three in like a couple minutes.
Very nice.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, like, with the Swiss, it's best of one, so those games just feel so intense because you're positioning to try to make a cut for a top four in a small, extremely competitive field. How do you feel? Obviously you've had a lot of success. with that format. Personally, I understand from like a time, an organizer perspective, it maybe just kind of has to be that way. But in my experience playing in the Legends events, man, I wish that Swiss was best of three. How do you feel about that?
So it's funny. It's knowing that it's best of one kind of made the practice for me that much more important to really narrow down the format, because while we all play the game, mm-hmm. getting really good at the vanilla format, it's almost like playing like a whole different set.
Yep.
And knowing that it's best of one, like you said, puts a lot of pressure on, but it also, you really start honing in on like the little things you do. And
you can't mess around, and you got to get every little edge that you can, for sure. Yeah,
and learn that you start to eliminate like little mistakes that you might not even realize you're making. And you can even do things like, you can sometimes bait your opponent into going like an econ line, because like, oh, there's big stuff in the shop, and you buy like that one damage card and you leave all the econ stuff. Like, oh, there's a clear line to buy econ and an 8 gold champ. And it's like,
yeah, meanwhile, you just you. Go I right under. You. Yeah.
Because by the time you've bought that, you're almost dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, that's interesting. There's an element of like bluffing and psychology that can exist in the paper game that isn't there in digital to such an extent. Do you feel like that is part of your strategy?
I've learned a few things. There's also like, you can get in people's head. I learned a tip from Bird Law. If you ever have cards that say your opponent discards a card,
yeah,
don't play them all. You slow play them. You play one, right?
Yep.
So I wait till they've drawn their five cards and they're just about to fan them out, and I go, all right, discard once. Now they're like, oh, I need to figure out what's in my hand. So they look at it, they look at the market row, and they agonize. Okay, I discard that. And I'm like, make it another. And they go, oh, if I knew there was two, I would have not done that. And I'm like, yeah, totally. Well, I don't have to play them all at once. It's like,
yep.
I can slow play it. And so you kind of get in their head and you're like, oh, like what else is going to happen? Like, what are they doing? And like, I didn't plan for that. Like I was hoping I could do this turn. And now that's all out the window. My backup plan's out the window based off what I discarded as the first card. So, and also a lot of people are so used to the app and being able to like, oh, what's in my deck? What's in my opponent's deck? You know, what colors have I bought? Now you have to memorize all that. And you don't have forever. Like the Swiss rounds are timed. They're now 25 minutes per game, which for me is plenty of time. But some people actually go to time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know all about that. I had a long top eight when I played. But okay, let's keep things cruising here. I did want to mention or touch a little bit briefly on, you mentioned like keeping track of what is in each player's deck and stuff like that. I feel like there's almost like this push and pull between like how much brain power you dedicate to that memorization element versus the staying in the flow of the game and making good decisions. How do you balance that? What is that like for you?
For me, they're one and the same, especially as we talked about earlier, like hate buying, then also doing your own game plan. Especially with your own game plan, you kind of have to memorize, like, wait, well, all right, maybe I didn't want to buy that bribe. Like, wait, how many blue cards do I have? Is it just worth it simply for like the faction bonus? Like, yeah, it's a big like econ card that you can't get rid of. You know, it doesn't have like the self sack, but you're like, oh, like, did I want, like, oh, maybe I bought like intimidation. Maybe I bought some blue champs that gain damage. So you think about that, but then you also, you look at the row and you're trying to figure out what your opponent's going to do based off of what you leave there. And that can kind of just let you know, like, how is the flow of the game going to go? Not just like this immediate turn, but over maybe the next three turns, because you know what's in the row, what's in their deck, what's in your deck. And you can kind of like format the game to like, oh, I'm going to need some healing, or I'm, you know, I might as well just push the damage, or no, this can be an econ game and I'm going to buy the big stuff. And maybe if I can get lucky, scrap out the small stuff and see where we go from there. And
throw some haymakers in a longer game type deal. So
for me, it's all one and the same. Like if you don't know what's in your decks, you're just going to end up buying random stuff and you're going to have a bad time in hand.
But what about like, you know, your opponent has 9 cards. Are you able to like tell me what those 9 cards are in the middle of the game?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they're 5 in hand and the 4 in their deck and their discard pile. You're able to like, do you feel like pretty confident that you would know exactly what those 9 cards are?
100%. In fact, I was even playing against Horrible, and there was a point where something flipped, and he goes, "Oh, you're going to get that." And I'm like, "You know, Horgel, you know it's impossible for me to get there right now. What do you mean?" I'm like, "Well, you saw all my gold last turn, so you know I can't have it this right. It's actually right. impossible. Like, there's not enough gold in the deck." And it's like, so if you know just what's in the deck, so you can literally know what your opponent's going to do next turn based off what they did last turn.
Yep. There's this Same. Level of having perfect information or not. Oh, Sam, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, in that case, Horgel could have requested to see your discard, right? As one thing yes. that you can always do. Yes. But I'm more like Larry, where I'm like, I think I know what he has, but I don't really. Because my memory is not great. It sounds like, John, you have a really good memory.
But it was like a turn two situation where it's like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's like, based off of turn one, you should therefore like know from based off what's in the deck, like what yeah. is going to come out next turn. And it's.
Yep.
Like that's a very simple example. And then like, but you get into like, I was playing against my opponent in the finals and I knew like their deck was like literally, you know, it was like Elven Gift, you know, Spark, Orc Run. And it's like, you know, all right, I've seen the Orc Run. So I know that all those sparks in that gift are coming next turn. Like maybe one of them is buried, you know, on the bottom, but otherwise like that's, I'm going to be discarding two cards. I'm going to be like taking like, you know, 10 plus damage next turn. It's like, you know, it's coming. It's not a surprise.
Right.
So I think if there's one thing the listeners can take away from this, it's just like to imagine the level of advantage you can get by having perfect information or near to perfect information compared to when your opponent does not have that and how you're able to leverage that to make really good decisions. So it sounds like you would recommend folks to work on that aspect of their game if they want to improve in paper and it's something that they struggle with, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Cool. Well, let's, go ahead, Scrap, get in there. We got, I'm a little worried about getting everything in, boys. Let's keep it rolling.
Well, I was going to ask the next question that I don't know if we've covered yet, which is which heroes did you choose in everyone?
Yeah, let's get into the top eight. Did you have anything more about the Swiss you want to chat about?
Oh, sorry. Or
we're good.
Yeah, let's bust into the top eight. What happened there, man? Are you playing fighter? Are you playing cleric? What are you doing?
After playing a Tavern Brawl and getting my butt kicked, I learned a lot about playing at lower levels, which, mm-hmm. you know, playing on the app, I'm so used to level 14, that kind of had to, like, backtrack a bit. I kind of looked at the field, I'm like, you know, I just feel like Cleric is very dominant at level 3 because it's the one thing that can, like, put the stop to Fighter. Mm-hmm. And I don't find Thief, Wizard, or Ranger as impactful at level 3 compared to what Fighter does. So I'm worried about fighters, and I'm like, you know, cleric stops it, and I think I know how to play. So the other classes, I think we're at best, I'm even. So I'll make sure I'll stop the fighters, and I'll worry about the rest later.
Sure.
And I played two fighters, so it kind of worked
out. Yeah. So you made the metagame call, and that's exactly what I did as well. When they made that change for Mace to have the gold for cleric, that's huge. Did you write it on with a Sharpie?
Yeah. remember? Took a yellow Sharpie and drew a line and circled it.
Yes. I have a question really quick. I'm pretty sure Birdlaw also won the last PAX U championship with Cleric. Do you remember that for one? And then two, do you remember who he played? Because I think he might have played a Ranger, though.
Yes, he played his... so I did not play in that the Heroes tournament for a reason we'll get into it later. I did stop by actually during the finals, and he was playing Cleric against a Ranger. Playing against this kid Andy, who he's known for a while. I think he talked about him. He mentioned him as like that kid that always was trying to.
Oh yeah,
that was the kid. Yeah, actually,
nice.
Yeah. In the finals, but
that's awesome.
But Birdlaw as cleric won out.
Nice.
I think it went to three games though.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's rare to see anything other than a fighter. I feel like in the heroes selection. So it's
cleric
a good
popping
right
up
now,
more and more now though, which
I think it will be.
The counter to that might be Wizard. I don't know. I know at higher levels, Wizard is a good counter to Cleric, so I wonder if it would hold up at lower levels.
It's rough at lower levels.
Nobody wants to play Wizard at low levels, though, because of the fighter, so it makes you wonder, you know, what the metagame might shake out to.
I did win my Legends as a Wizard, but we also all agreed to play Wizard, so it was a whiz-off. It was Legends whiz-off.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way I'd be choosing it, probably, but yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the semifinals. Anything you want to highlight in your fighter matchup there, cleric versus fighter? Did you just kind of play to the long game, play to your strengths, and come out on top there? What was that match like?
So that was actually against Horgel.
Mm-hmm.
I played with him at like Splintered Thandar events and met him before, and mm-hmm. real chill dude.
Love you, Larry.
So yeah, Larry's great. And so before, you know, we're choosing the classes and Connor, one of the tournament organizers, came over and, you know, was like, just so you guys know, it's like Cleric's got that plus one gold on the mace and, you know, Wizard gets an extra ruby, and he kept repeating it. So everyone understood, right? So I get my deck and I flip it and I go first and I get gold, mace, and there is a close the ranks in the shop. And I grab it and Horgul like tries to stop me like, wait a minute, you've only got two gold. I'm like, no. The mace came through, and he just went, no, and like shook the table. Like, that's it. We just go to game two because a cleric turn one got closed the ranks.
That's funny.
It just very quickly, just I think it was like closed the ranks into like command or something. Like, no, I think he might have got it was like closed the ranks into something else yellow. It was either command or rally the troops, and it just set the tone,
yeah,
for that game. And then, game two, I think I was able to get he got to go first after his loss, and I started with a six gold hand, and I think I bought Life Drain.
Oh, that's so brutal. I just immediately just
thinned my deck down to like seven cards, and sure, it's like, yeah, every turn you're gonna see Life Drain, and I think I ended up buying Domination somehow, and it was just like, yeah, you're gonna just see Life Drain and Domination, like, you're just gonna like repeat it just every turn, and just, yeah, it was.
It sounds like exactly the opening you wanted to see in both
absolutely
games.
Oh, yeah, it was there is like, you know, the go first metagame, but when you get to go second and you get that like big buy of a premium card that you would buy no matter what your deck is, it's just like, oh, that's my first buy. Oh, this is gonna go. Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's a scrap. If you get a scrap in your first buy, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
First or second. I mean, as long as it's in the second shuffle. Perfect.
So let's take it into the finals then. So you're rolling hot. You got the win over Larry Love, and you're in the finals. Who was your opponent?
So there was actually these two guys that they were both only paper players, and they were roommates. So all they would do is jam out Heroes on paper in their spare time.
Nice.
So he was I forget the guy's name. It was like Maddie something. It was his username in Challenge. But he was also a fighter. So he, but that game was a bit rough. I think it was like turn one. I had a five gold, I had a four gold, like, or three gold turn one. I bought some econ and I flipped, a spark, which I could not buy. Into Elven Gift, into spark, into Death Touch. And I went,
oh no.
So I was like, all right, it's but eventually that flipped the Eagle Champ Tyranar, the one that scraps two.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, that's my way back in. I've got the econ. I need to get to that card. And those sparks were the bane of my existence. How many times I had
keeping you off of eight. Yep.
I have seven gold, and you know what I did? Heal pass.
Yep. You got to have a lot of discipline in a situation like that.
Everything else in the row was more econs. Like, what am I going to do? Just put more econ in my deck so that once I eventually get the card, I'm still just shuffling through econ to try to eventually scrap it out. It's like, no, heal pass. Finally get it. And then it became like the race where I need to scrap down and get down to like just my champs, while he was just playing a mostly green and red deck, scrapping that out and drawing cards. And I think the critical thing in that game was I was doing the discipline where I'm just going to float like five gold here. Just forget it. Just float five gold. And my opponent was like, nah, I'm going to buy like two or three fire gems.
And so they were bloating up a little bit.
His thought process was, oh, at least the fire gems, I could just sack them all and still clear champs. But
there's some appeal there. You get to use your skill for sure. And you get to chuck it. So it's like, what, six damage there or five damage?
Mm-hmm. Three damage for, like, yeah, if you use the fire's ability. But the problem you started to run into, I don't think he anticipated, was that the more fire gems you got, they're not green. All your green cards say, do something awesome. All those green cards are plus four damage, more damage, three damage, draw a card. So all of a sudden, he started not having those turns where seeing like multiple sparks in a turn.
Yep.
And
right. I think if he had the scrap, it was definitely a mistake, because if you have the scrap, then you're like tightening it down further and further. But without the scrap, there's a little more case to be made for the fire gems. But
I mean, with those three alone, you could just scrap your deck down to that five.
Yeah, like just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even without the scrap there, it's at that point, you're like, well, you know, I've got like a 14, you know, card deck. It's like, maybe I can just try to faction things more and just deal enough damage and put enough pressure on the cleric who's got this econ heavy deck. But he was like, no, I got to try to like race him to that 8-gold champ. And it's like, well, I already had the econ start. It's like, I don't even know why you're bothering. Just kill me.
Right.
And it actually ended up being, I think I had like 14 health in the final turn. And because I blessed, he ended up not being able to clear the champs because he couldn't faction Elven Gift.
Sure. Ooh. So it definitely came together there. So it sounds like the opponent could have taken a different strategy in game one. Ultimately, mm-hmm. you ended up taking it. What happened in game two?
Game two, my opponent went first, had 4 gold, bought Rally the Troops. Which was like, ooh, that's a nice buy for a fighter. Mm-hmm. And then I had 6, and I bought, what is it, a Lys, the champion that Sakon
okay. yep.
from discard. And I just played the, I'm just doing the deck thinning game. And I went like Lys into Life Drain. And honestly, I probably bought one other card that game and just scrapped that
wow.
back and just kept hitting him with Lys and that's... Life Drain. At one point, Living... I killed Lys. I brought it back, scrapped again. It was like the deck just got so thin and it was just a slaughter at that point.
Wow. Living nice. The cleric dream there, it sounds like. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, from this telling of the tale, it doesn't feel like there was a spot in this tournament where you were really sweating it out quite a bit. What would you say about that?
I will say game one of finals, I was sweating with my opponent having all that green. But when he
okay, that's deck, fair. Yeah.
The final turn, I think he had like 9 health and I had 14 with some champs in play.
Yeah.
It was because of that bless with the champs that I like held on. Mm-hmm. And had he just had like a better shuffle, he could have killed me. And had he not had the fire gems, he probably would have had the better
and then
shuffle.
You're or looking
he wouldn't
at
have even gotten that far. Like he might have just game, killed me much
yeah.
earlier.
Yeah. And then you're at game three and who knows what happens in game three. So
right.
awesome. So you got the Hero Realms win, officially cemented as a Realms Walker. We're being a little timey-wimey here, but how did that feel? What happened next there?
I was stoked and, you know, I'm trying to celebrate. And all my friends tell me, it's like, you got to win tomorrow. I'm like, no, you have to win tomorrow. Like, other people are Realms Walkers. I think there's only, like, who else has won 2-1 con? And I was like,
I think there's a woman named Sammy wow. who did yeah. it once. Did they bring her up at all? That's the only other one I can think of is that I think there's a woman named Sammy and yeah, she's not what, super active in the community. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what Birdlaw said that Sammy won at Gen Con and that they don't play on the app from what I know.
Okay.
But they play a lot on paper, or at least they did. And they won both at Gen Con. So I was like, yeah. well, all right, well, only one other person. I'm like,
it's right. rare company, nevertheless. Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely like, something to be proud
like
of.
We're going for it. It's like, I will not be denied. Let's go.
So that was your feeling after getting the trophy is like you were hungry for the next one, huh?
Oh, yeah. We did have one other mission. It's now a tradition that we all have to drink out of the trophy now.
Yes. Hell yeah.
You were like, well, I need to drink out of 2 trophies now.
Exactly. So
double fisting.
Grab Birdlaw, text you. So we all went out to dinner. We just got some beers and we just took turns passing around the trophy and chugging from it. Cause it's,
love it.
It's like a community like win because for us, it's like, all right, you know, if I don't win, I want my friend to win.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially the thing you practice with. So it was nice to like just go out and celebrate together.
Yep. Definitely. A lot of some of the most fun sharing that win afterwards. You know, that's how it was for me going to the hotel bar with Agency 13, Meowgin, and Scrap Force, and drunk dialing to Katz's Meow and other things like that. We had a good time. Okay. So we have a ton to get through still. We're looking at about a half hour left. Give me the Blitz version on Star Realms day 2. So at this point you've got 2 trophies, you're going for your third. It's Hero Realms on day 1, Star Realms on day 2. Give me the quick version on how that all played out for you. What happened?
It was a literal blitz. Every single round I won and overkilled my opponent, and within like 2 minutes it was just like buy aggro go. They're playing an econ game in an econ set, and I'm like, you know what, I'm still gonna take the aggro line in the econ baseball set, and just and as soon as they're like, oh, I bought the big card, I was like, congratulations, you're dead. And, I went undefeated again in that Swiss round too.
Undefeated Amazing. In the Swiss there as well. Do you remember how many participants were in that one? Was that in the higher teens or low 20s type area?
I think it was about like 18 or so.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, that sounds right. Usually Star Realms gets a little more players in it than Hero Realms has been my observation. So,
yep.
And a strong player base as well for that, we know. So you undefeated in the Swiss, made it to, was this one top eight or only top four then?
That one was top eight. They had enough people. Okay. Shout out to VQ, Star Realm streamer. She actually got in the top eight kind of the same way I did because someone left.
Nice.
She got the mat though, because the guy left before claiming the mat. So she
better.
She got to have the mat and play. And I played her in Swiss and got to play her again in round one of
the playoffs. So the quarterfinals?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. And you got the win there. And that was, again, the format where, like, it changes which core set you're playing through the rounds.
So they just do each round. There's three rounds in the playoffs, and each round was one of the different three
sets. Everyone's playing base in the quarters. Yeah. Everyone's playing Colony Wars in the semis, and then Frontiers in the finals, I think it normally is.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes they reverse the order. Colony is always in the middle.
Interesting.
But this time it was Frontiers was the final, which is my jam.
Yeah, you were happy to see that.
Your favorite. Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about your run through the top eight then. You stayed aggro, stayed low to the ground, and damage goes burr or what?
Damage went burr. VQ and I did have very nice. It was fun talking to her. We're both people who are terrible at shuffling. Like none of us can bridge or anything, so we're just kind of sitting there making a mess of the cards. Wow. We had a great time. Like it was a lot of fun. A lot of great photos of that event too that I got the tournament organizer to send me. But that was just a quick.
Isn't there a picture of you guys wearing party hats? Well, give me the quick story on the party hats. Whose birthday was it, or what was going on there?
It was PAX's birthday. It was the 20th year of PAX. So for PAX, I asked everyone to put the party hat on. Some people kept it on. I don't think I did. I did not want it on for like the games, but then I insisted if I'm wearing it for the photo, I will not wear it as a party hat. I'll wear it as an eye patch. I'll wear it as like a beard. Like I was having fun with it.
Nice.
Yeah. But so I went through the unfortunate thing is that when you win quickly, you're sitting there waiting.
Like, sure.
And you can kind of get a little antsy waiting for your opponent.
Yeah. What did you do to like maintain your focus in between rounds and stuff like that? Anything specific?
I was chit chatting with the tournament organizers. They're both chill people. I'm like Connor and Dennis, you know, I haven't seen Connor's been there for a little while. Dennis is newer, but one of his hats is he's the new tournament organizer. So he's been the one to kind of put on challenge and try to like pare down the formats and like get rid of a few like dumb rules and get into like the nitty gritty of the rules. For example, there was a thing that he did away with that if you beat someone, you claim their seed. So they kind of did away with that because it's kind of weird. You could be like the 2 seed, get to the finals, and you're the lower seed because your opponent came from the 1 seed bracket.
Yeah. Yeah, that does seem a little counterintuitive and not something I've heard of in other tournaments. But
So it was one of the things that was built in, and he got rid of that. But it was just like chit-chatting with him about, you know, the tournaments. Also, the Wise Wizards launched Robot Quest.
Yep.
And yeah.
We were talking about tournament formats for that going forward. And it's all just in the idea phase. Like, the game literally launched, like, that week. But we were spitballing, like, if, you know, how do you play that game? And if you do a draft, he wants to try to do it, like, 4 people play, just, like, the full chaos.
Yeah. That's what my vote would be
for. It's really fun, but it's kind of hard to always guarantee you have groups of 4 for a tournament.
That's true, and you don't want to like cut off the 17th person or whatever, so there's some complications there. All right, so we're into the semis now of Star Realms. What happened after getting past VQ in the quarterfinals there?
That match felt like a blur, not because I don't remember what happened, was because that was probably one of the most aggro-heavy matches I played. Colony is a set that came out after the core set, and core set was very slow. You buy bases, you wall your opponent.
Scrap is king damage, so much.
Scrap is king. This set was just like a lot of cards that just dealt damage and had an effect too. So like you could spend 3 gold on something that was deal 4 and scrap, or deal 4 and if they have a base in play, deal 2 more, or deal 4, draw a card. And that's every card that costs like 2 to 3, like has effects like that. So I kind of like, yeah, I'm going to go first. My opponent was like, oh, is that the meta? Go first. I'm like, yes. But especially in this, you'll see in this set, like when I flip the marker row, how aggro heavy this is and how cheap the cards are. And immediately he was like, oh. And it was just, I mean, it was like, you know, I flip the deck and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to deal like 25 to you. It's just like, you know, with just like purchases from like the first, but you know, two turns.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just crazy. The games went very fast.
And then on to the finals. Who was your finals opponent?
Taxachusetts. My buddy Taxachusetts has every Star Realms Legends gotten one round better. But the thing is, he only gets one round better. Because I made sure that you can't skip. You can't like get to the finals and win it. You gotta wait.
So he's due to win his next one, it sounds like, perhaps. So you played against your buddy. Oh, my goodness. How did those games play out?
That was the most fun series of Star Realms I ever had because we spent the entire time talking to each other. Yes. To the point where Dennis, the tournament organizer, was like, I'm going to have to invoke some like sportsmanship rules. Like, no, you don't understand. This is how we talk to each other. So it was just like we just had like the Connor and Dennis just laughing. We're just playing and we know the games. We know each other. You don't have to explain what the cards do. We're just playing fast, throwing the cards, buying things. You're not worried about like what the opponent's doing. It's like, my buddy, I don't have to be like, wait, you don't have enough gold there. It's like, we're just playing quick.
Interesting. So it had a much more like chill vibe than you might expect a finals to normally have.
Absolutely.
It was a party because no matter what, someone bring home like a trophy. It's like, we did it.
But you wanted to have the back-to-back, man. So that must have been playing for you in some ways, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was... It was just like, oh, I'm putting the beat down. It's like, you know, my friend, we joke, we play a lot, and he always jokes against me. It's like, you know, it's like 16%. People are like, what's a 16%? It's like, that's my win rate against him. And I'm like, well, you know, 16% every time, man. You got to do it. You know, you just got to do it. And,
so Tax feels like he only wins 16% of the time against you, or who wins more between you guys?
Normally? You only win 16% against me.
And that's you have his number most of the time.
I've got his number. Okay. And game one, he got off fast. We're playing Frontiers. It's a pretty aggro set. And I think in Star Realms, you can overheal. So I recall it was like he had 57 life and I had 32. And I finally got one big buy and something that did damage, healed, drew a card, and faction destroyed target base, which is like the champions of the game.
Nice.
And the final score was like 46 to negative, whatever, just because I had scrap and I just kept flipping that card. He saw that card every over single turn. He had a 7-card deck and I had card draw.
Oh, man. It sounds like that's like really like an epic finish. Like you were kind of behind, found the right card, played your outs, and flipped that one on its head. So amazing stuff. Go ahead.
Quick question for you just in general, because you are always scrapping, which I totally agree with. But are you too worried about scrapping your econ out? Are you going to buy an econ to replace some of the golds that you're getting rid of? Or, like, do you make sure to do that or do you just scrap?
Wait till game two. So game two, I am behind. It's literally, I have this vivid memory because we keep the score on our phones. And I look at my phone, I'm seeing it's 74-23. And I'm like, I got to do something drastic to come back from this. And there's a card, Nanobot Swarm. It's eight gold, deal five, draw two, scrap two cards, mana discard. It's and huge. I'd already had two scrap cards going. So I'd already gotten rid of like four cards in my deck. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm behind on life. And there's another card. It was a eight gold. It's like a give, and it was a base that had six health, gets three gold, four damage, like five healing or something like that.
Right.
No, I don't think that's going to keep me alive. I think we're just going to have to get rid of the deck and then just hit him big every turn. And next thing I know, it's 60-5. But my deck is seven cards with two bases in play. So it's literally I have a 5-card deck. I draw the same 5 cards every turn.
And if he takes out your bases, you're drawing into them and playing them again.
Yep.
And at that point, I had just enough econ to buy a card and then instantly play it because it'd go to my discard and I'd draw it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so every turn it was like, okay, he's at 60 and he's got big damage potential, but he has no scrap and his deck is bloated and he has no card draw either. He's had econ with healing and damage. That was his
deck. That's rough. Yeah, that's rough.
And I'm like, all right, well, he's at 60. I'm like, if I can deal like 20 something a turn, even with a little healing, I think I can kill him in three turns before he finds the damage. And every turn he'd get just enough damage to kill one base or two bases. And then I just replay them and replay them and replay them. And I'd buy something, draw it, smack him with it, maybe even scrap something out additional because I'd bought something else. And I literally just kept the deck at seven cards. And it was just, it was like that like moment where, like, even like the tournament organizers, I could feel them like both over my shoulder. Like, he's a five. How can he do it? And then I felt like I hit him for like 28 and he's down to five. And he goes, oh, that's it, man. I'm like, no, you're not dead. You're at five. He's like, you don't understand. And he throws his hand down. It was all gold.
There you have it.
Yes, of course.
And at that point, he flipped his deck over just to see. And it's like all the damage was on the bottom.
The writing was on the wall, though. Like, I think
were
anytime...
your bases out, though? I have to ask, were your bases out still? Did you still have the two? Okay, so you still had that.
Anytime you're in that position where you have the ability to, like, buy what you want and draw it, you've levered yourself to such a position of control in the game that it is hard to lose. Like, you always got to feel good when you've navigated yourself to that kind of situation. So, must have been a sweet victory against Taxachusetts there.
Yes.
Give us kind of what happened next. I mean, I'm sure you guys celebrated, and
at that point it was all about the double trophy flex.
Exactly.
We got Bird Law again, who was also there. We got him like, all right, we're going out again, and now we got to drink out of both trophies. Got to double fist it. And there's photos of us. You drinking out of one, quick drink out of the other, and we just kept passing it around. And people at the restaurant were like, oh, it's like, what did you win? And I was like, oh, I won like Star Realms and Hero Realms. And the guy was like, you won both? And it's like, oh, I play that game with like my cousin. And I was like, oh, it's nice to like know like people have heard in this game. He's like, yeah, I play like on the app. I'm like, yeah, we're playing it on paper. And he's like, nice. It's like, yeah. it was kind of cool to like randomly meet people who knew what the games were.
Yeah.
And just having the fun of just drinking out of two trophies. That was
that's amazing.
And the next day, did you go back and see Rob and have all three trophies? I thought I saw a picture. I want to know what Rob said to you about all that. what did he say?
So we did the photos. I'm about to leave. And one of the other guys, Derek, came over and he goes, hey, can you bring the trophies in tomorrow so you could do like a photo shoot with Rob and Darwin?
I
think Darwin wasn't there that day. He decided after 3 days he was done. And so Rob, like, this is the guy, it's the guy. And we're like, Rob, I'd actually met Rob the day before, and we had like a 20-minute balance chat about Hero Realms, about how like looking at data and classes and trying to fix things with the level 20 stuff coming out, and how they try to balance things at level 3 for the newer players versus level 20 for the veteran players, you know, that are going to be getting there pretty soon.
Right.
Yep.
And then he's like, wait, you again? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, and I open the backpack and I start pulling out the trophies. And so he's like, wow. And he's looking at both trophies. And then I pull out the third trophy. And he's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, I didn't go back to back. I went back to back to back. I went unplugged too. And he's like, I don't know if anyone's done that. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, he's like, well, let me hold one of the trophies because you don't have enough hands for the photo. I have my son with me. As well. He can hold one trophy, you know. And Rob was just kind of like, you know, he was a bit stunned. The fact that someone won 2-1 con, but was also won the previous con as well. So.
Yeah, that may be your claim to fame, my friend. You may be the first to go 3 in a row at PAX East.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but apparently, according to everyone else who was looking through the challenge stuff, I won 30 straight tournament games.
That's insane.
Because you went undefeated in Swiss and then 2-0 and all those games. That's insane.
And is that going back to all three Legends events?
That's going back to the first Star Realms at PAX Unplugged.
Okay. Wow.
That, I lost game one Swiss to Marauder Mo because, of course, in a 41, you know, person event, you get paired against one of your buddies to start. He managed to perfectly faction every single flip and exact lethaled me. Ooh. When I had counter lethal in hand.
Yeah.
So that was, and that was after losing to Birdlaw and then spending like 9 months just practicing. I you can't get to the finals, lose, and then not win the next one. Like, you have to improve.
Right.
And I was like, oh man, here we go. It's like, I'm in the loser's bracket. It's like strength of opponent is a tiebreaker. If I go 4-2, I might not make the playoffs now because I have a loss and I'm playing people who also have losses. And it was kind of like a, you know, like when Frieza killed Krillin and Goku just kind of snaps and you just kind of like go to like some next level. And the very next game, it was like a 68 to negative something. And the next game was like 74 to and they started tracking point differential that tournament. Nice. And the guy who went 6-0, his point differential was plus 90. I was 5-1 with a point differential of 300 something. I was just putting the beat down like every game and quick, people were literally still like figuring out their second shop and they go, wait, someone already won like 68 to negative whatever. And my wife, looks over. She's also playing and she's like, it's not him, is it? And she sees me getting up from the table, going, doing it already. And it's like, it just kept going.
Amazing. Nice. Damage goes burr is my takeaway, man. Goes burr.
Yeah, that's what people need to remember here. Well, it has been an amazing run for you, man. I'm sure we could get into more strategy and stuff like that. We have covered a lot of high points. Any other like closing remarks regarding these tournament victories or playing in paper or playing digitally? Anything you want to leave the people with here?
Yeah, it's definitely a different experience when you're playing on paper. You just have to get used to like, you know, the feel of the cards and not having the fallback that you can like look at everything on a macro scale. You got to memorize a bit, but just practice it. If it's something you feel like you want to do, at the very least, just practice the format. But if you can get your hands on some of the cards, you know, just get a buddy, just maybe even a couple games a week, just get the feel of playing with paper. So you don't have that like shock when you sit down and like, oh, I have to shuffle now.
Right. Awesome. Anything closing from you, Scrap Force?
Man, I just want to say thanks. John, it's been awesome to get to talk to you. I actually think that we did meet at PAX U because I was there the last one and Mo was playing in the tournament and everything else. But it's nice to really like have a time to sit down and talk. Everyone's always going their different ways with these cons with their friend group and they got this, they got that. So it's really good to sit down and talk. Honestly, great refreshers for me on playing vanilla. I've definitely been sucking lately at vanilla and I'm like, yeah, maybe I should be buying more champions. So I really appreciate that. And just congratulations, dude. What an epic achievement. I'm going back to back to back and then 30 games in a row. That's insane to me. Maybe you either need to be lucky or be John is my takeaway.
I have labella magic.
The labella magic.
You know?
Yeah, please rub me, John. Rub me.
All right, let's cut you off there. Moving on to our next segment where we're going to cover some of the latest and greatest in the digital app. Thanks, everyone. Stay tuned for that. Well, with that, we are looking to round out the end of this episode by taking a look at the community roundup. Two quick things to announce signups for. Again, Thandar Combat League, going to be taking signups real soon. And Echoes of Valor is about halfway through its league, so be sure to keep an eye out to sign up for that one as well. Kind of an ongoing league, just like Thandar Combat League is, but with different rules and stuff like that. So check it out on the Discord if you have any questions. Would love to see more folks playing in those events. The more, the merrier, I always say. But the big announcement here is that Tavern Brawl is making a comeback, baby. And this time, Ancestries are going to be on the table. So if you don't know what Tavern Brawl is, the quick rundown is that it is a team of five players with one captain, aka Daredevil, and that Daredevil is going to set the matchup with another team. They'll go back and forth, and each team has exactly one of each of the base classes represented. And now, like I said, with the Ancestries being involved, you're going to be able to do things like have a half-demon cleric or a small folk thief.
And so on and so forth. The exact rules of how ancestries will be implemented is up in the air. And so keep an eye out for that. There's also plenty of documentation out there about how Tavern Brawl works. If you've never played before, it's one of the most fun events that we have, and it's really worth checking out. I can't wait to have it back. Noodle Tulpe is the Brawl Master, and he's got some folks helping him out, Game Freak and Luna Pig, and apologies if I'm forgetting anyone else who assists with that event. Let me know, and I will get you a delayed shout out, I promise. But anyway, so Tavern Brawl on the horizon. Can't wait to play that. Let's move it over into some quick taps and scraps here. My tap is going to be the TV show Shogun. It's on Hulu, I think, or however you may choose to watch your shows, but it's based off of a book that I think it's from the 80s. I read it as a teenager, and basically this, I think it's in like the 1600s, this pirate lands in Japan and the Portuguese are already there, but he's the first English person, and it's this culture clash, and he's in the midst of like a power struggle that's already happening with the Japanese people. So it's just a very cool show, very well produced, and I recommend checking it out if any of that sounds interesting to you. My scrap, gotta scrap something here. I'm gonna scrap the large daycare costs of sending two kids to daycare. I love our daycare and am very fortunate to be able to send our kids to daycare, and I'm very grateful for it, absolutely. But it is painful writing that weekly check. That said, they get a lot out of it. They do great activities, and they even have like a learning curriculum, and we love the staff and all that. But if I had to scrap something, man, scrap the cost of that. So anyways, folks, I do want to thank you all so very much for tuning in to this episode of Sparks and Recreation. Gonna have another one up for you soon, but in the meantime, stay fresh, cheese bags.
You made it to the end of the show. Congratulations, you're a nerd. Tune into the next episode of Sparks and Recreation for more on community events, meta-analysis, and everything Hero Realms.